There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, g'day, g'day. And welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine. As together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. Welcome back, everybody. And thank you for your feedback on the show last week. It was really lovely that the micro practice on expansion has been helpful for some and for many. So, oh, it's wonderful. It just warms my heart when I know that there are people out there that are connecting. So it's just lovely. Today we are on to episode 7. Oh my goodness gracious. 7 out of 9 in our Embodied Intelligence series. If you haven't seen any of the other series or you haven't listened, if you're a new listener, welcome. Hello. You can always go back to bbsradio.com/all learning reimagined, and you'll be able to find all the other episodes and the articles that I write, including activities and micro practices that are shared each week. There's hundreds that are there. There are so many that are there that you are welcome to go and explore and share. It's beautiful. Okay, so this week, guys, I am focusing on something that's a little bit different. So last week we looked at expansion and how our body reacts when we feel safe to expand into something new rather than contracting. We're going to add to that this week. We're really going to look at identity and knowing ourselves. Now, in my opinion, this is where everything starts from. You mean you have to live with yourself for the rest of your life. So it's really important to know yourself. And speaking from direct experience, it's really easy to get distracted in life and to disconnect from yourself and not necessarily know all aspects of yourself. It's different for children. They are more connected, but as you become older, particularly for me, working different jobs and different careers and running businesses and all of the different things, it's really making space to come back and connect, you know, because what if knowing ourselves is one of the most important things or forms of learning? So this was the question that I was pondering for this week's episode. And so start with a story. I like to start with stories. This is how we learn and how we remember. And this is a beautiful everyday example. And that is, imagine asking a group of people, who are you? You know, you've just met them, you've gone to a cafe, you've met a new group of people and you're like, oh, who are you? And some people might say, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a mother, I'm a builder, I'm retired, I'm a student. They'll probably tell you their name, their job, their role, their qualifications, or their achievement. Because particularly in the Western societies, this is what we've been trained is to do and to say. And we think that that is our identity, that that is who we are. And yet if those roles changed tomorrow, which is a huge reality when you're looking at AI and the expansion of it. There are many careers that are being taken over. And so who are you when you're no longer in that role? You know, would they still be who they are? Would we still be who we are? So I am asking all of us to reflect beyond what I do, what you do, and it's more, who are you as a being? How do you show up in the world as a being? How do you operate? What are your preferences? What are your connections? So there's lots and lots of questions to ponder. You know, who am I when nobody is watching? What feels naturally true for me? and what brings me alive. Some people, I've witnessed it over and over again. Some people come alive when they are under pressure, and there are others that completely crumble. There are others that come alive when they're outdoors. They're so happy. And there are others that come alive when they start talking about their favorite computer game. There are others that come alive when they're writing or drawing or getting into their art. It's just an aliveness. So it's that question to know yourself, because every single one of us is different. We all have a different flavor. We all have a different energetic signature. So it's that, what brings you alive? And then, of course, there's the opposite. What drains you? What drains your energy? Like, if you ask me to cook and to iron, I'm sorry, it's just not something I enjoy at all. And yet, one of my closest friends is the most amazing cook. Everything she touches is just delectable, and she loves it. It just beams out her. She pours the love into the food. I love to eat it, but cooking, not so much. Everyone has something that drains their energy, and everyone has something that really makes them come alive. So it's that is part of the knowing who you are beyond the identity and the labels that we have been given. And then I've also asked myself recently, in particular, the questions of, what have I learned about myself through life? What do I know about myself? Do I even know myself? Because I'm constantly changing. And what if that self-knowledge is more valuable than self-improvement? Self-improvement can sometimes go down the I am not enough, I'm judging, I'm constantly seeking, 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 which is what I feel like we're programmed to do from school constantly. You've got to get your feedback and then you need to improve, which to some degree is useful, but is that all there is? Do we have to treat ourselves like that as a living being? It's okay to do that when you're improving a skill, but what about us, our being? And so, coming back to, what do we currently seem to believe? Well, many people grow up learning what to think. They learn what to achieve, how to fit in, what success looks like. It's all programmed in us. You just have to turn on social media or turn on the tell a lie to your vision box, and it will tell you what it is that all of these things happen to be. But there is less time spent on developing our values. What are your values? If I came up to you and said, what are your top three values? Would you be able to tell me? You can probably tell what mine is. Connection is one of them. I love to connect with people, but also connecting with self and connecting with nature. Contribution is another one. I really love to contribute and make a difference and have an impact. That just makes my heart absolutely sing. And expansion and learning and exploring, I value growth. So there's three top values that I have in my life. I've got many, but they would be three that I would share with you. And they are almost like the lens that I see everything through. If this is not going to help people, then I don't do it. So it's, how can I contribute? What can I do to help others, and but not at the expense of myself? Very hard lesson to learn, let me tell you. The also thing is, what about our strengths and our gifts, our preferences, our purpose for being here? And I didn't say purpose for doing here, I said purpose for being here. And then, of course, there's very little time spent on exploring our identity and who we are. You know, we're often told what to think, what to achieve, how to fit in, but it's not necessarily about that know thyselves. So we often are learning about the world before we even know ourselves. It just seems pretty backward to me when you think about it. And so, tying that into the embodiment intelligence series, so where does the body fit into this? Well, for me, I've noticed that some choices create expansion, others create contraction, and our body speaks to us when this is happening. And it's really important to have that relationship with yourself, because it helps you discern, it helps you to make choices and choose your timeline. Are you going to take that job? Are you not going to take that job? Will you get into that relationship? Will you not get into that relationship? And if everything's too chaotic, then you just sit still until it comes and you can feel the communication. Some people energize you, others leave you exhausted. So, do I want those exhausting people in my life? Do I choose to stay with them and be around them? Why would I do that? They're not an energetic match for me. We're not on the same frequency. Some opportunities feel completely aligned. Ah, yes. Full body let, yes. And others feel heavy, feel like an obligation, a should, would, could. One of those horrible swear words. Should, would, could. Honestly, the expectations, it weighs heavy on you, but you know, your body knows that it's not in alignment with the true essence of you. Often, the body is noticing something that the mind, before the mind explains. And I've noticed, like, when you walk into a room and your body's registering something before your mind catches up of what they're reading, of the energy of the room, of what's going on in the room. And the body also takes time to integrate things. So you might have thought that there's something that happened and it's ended, and the body in the mind it's happened, but it takes time for the body to happen. So, for example, someone might have had a burned out or left a job or left a relationship or moved house or had some big change in their life, and mentally and intellectually you can know that it's happened, but it takes time for your body to adjust and integrate whatever that happens to be. So the tightening of the stomach or the lifting in the chest, the feeling of excitement or the sense of resistance, the body is constantly offering us information, and this is part of knowing yourself. Because are we listening? I know I didn't listen for years and years and years. I am now. And it's amazing the expansion that you can have or when you are in tune and in alignment and you have that coherence. So when you have your gut feeling, your heart, which is of course your passion, and your mind in coherence, oh, beautiful things happen. And so many of us are out of alignment because we're doing the shoulda, woulda, couldas and running by programming loops that we have had embedded in us and belief systems, which are outdated or might not suit you now, might have suited you back when they were installed, but you are not the same man or woman or child. You're not the same being now. So your identity is not fixed. And this is such a liberating idea to introduce to people because there are some people who think, no, I have to have, this is who I am. Teachers are notorious for it. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher. Very few ever get out of the system because that's how they see themselves. They love it. But you can teach without having that as a job. You can teach in everyday life. You can still be a teacher. You don't necessarily need to have that label. Many people seem to think that an identity is fixed. It's not. Life actually shows us otherwise. The child is a child, and then they become a teenager. The identity shifts. The teenager becomes an adult. The identity shifts. People might retire, and then their identity of who they are and what they do shifts. Careers change, relationships change. You're married, you're divorced. Beliefs evolve, interests expand, and sometimes our identity is not something that we discover all at once. It's something that's unfolding through our life. So this is relevant regardless of your age group, because what if we're not everything that we think we are? Most of us assume that every thought we think is ours. Every feeling that we feel is ours. I'm here to tell you from direct experience that it's not. I can often pick up on the thoughts of other people. And this is a really interesting thing to know. And not every emotion that we experience belongs to us. People who are empaths out there genuinely pick up experiences from those around them, and they have to sit and feel with it and go, oh, is this mine? Is this emotion mine, or is it someone else's? That self-awareness and learning to discern is essential skill in life. This is why I'm bringing this up in the conversation, because I feel like it's one of the most important skills to navigate these changing, very challenging times out there at the moment for many, many people. And yet, It is such a beautiful, expansive time for many who are choosing not to see the challenge. They're not consuming the challenges, they're creating. They've chosen to become creator beings. And part of this discernment of, is this really mine, is part of the process. Am I responding to something that's just around me? You know, you can walk into a room feeling perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden you might feel anxious or heavy or frustrated or emotional. Nothing's happened, but something else has shifted. And sometimes you're just picking up on the emotional weather, the environment that's around you. Big shout out to a beautiful woman called Catherine Marcel. Muscle? Marcel. Not quite sure how to pronounce her last name, but she has a YouTube channel. And so I highly recommend that you look up Catherine. She talks about this in really expansive ways. And if you want to go deeper, I would highly recommend her work. She's amazing. And she introduced me to the concept of energetic weather. And now this is embedded in my daily lexicon. I use this all of the time. I'm so thankful for her for pointing it out to me, which is why I'm now sharing it with you. Energetic weather is, it's not just physical weather. It's not like it's going to rain today. There's hail, there's sunshine, there's rainbows. Energetic weather, when you think about it, you know, some days are calm, some days are stormy, some environments feel uplifting and others feel heavy. The awareness is this energetic mind weather, is it mine? Am I picking up on other things around me like it's the weather? Or is it something that's coming from within me? So where is that sense coming from? And that is because our body is an antenna. You know, we've already learned this through the journey. We've learned that the body is electrical. We know that the body is relational. We know that the body is communicative. We know that the body has a remembrance in it. And the fascia and the nervous system, all of the things that we've talked about so far in the Embodied Intelligence series. But today, I want to also consider that knowing yourself is also how do you perceive? It's knowing how your body is perceiving, because we're all slightly different. How do you receive information? How do you interpret it? How do you choose to respond to it? Not react, respond to it. Because we're like an antenna that's constantly gathering information. You know, and the question for me has always become, well, how do I discern what's mine and what belongs to me and what is not mine? How do I do that? And so for that, I need to know my own identity and my own signal, my own home base, basically. And if I don't know that, then it's very easy to be, you know, like a wave on the ocean being thrashed around the rocks. You're just being whichever way the collective consciousness is going, whatever way society is going, whatever seems to be happening out there, you just get swept away within it because you don't know yourself to go, oh, this is not for me. Or, oh, yes, this is for me. I want to come along for this ride. This is going to be a fun experience. So that know thyself, this is who I am. Really is very important, and that is quite often tied to subconscious beliefs that have been programmed. So often it's important to question, well, who am I without all the stories that I inherited? You know, I'm not rejecting those stories, but I'm questioning them. Do I choose to be those stories? I'm going to give you an example. I have blonde hair. And for years, people used to love when I was young, they loved telling me dumb blonde jokes. Oh, because I am naturally blonde hair. It was like almost it was so white. It was like snow, actually, when I was young. So people be telling me this, and for years I used to think, well, I must be stupid. It came into my subconscious, and until I stripped that from my identity, because I was like, that's not a story I choose. And yet, how many other labels are there with races or gender or even financial situations, people are labeling you right now for whoever it is that you choose to be. Are you buying into that story? Because I've decided I chose not to, but it took me years to get to that realization that I really needed to know who I am and what my boundaries are and what I will accept and not accept as well. This is a huge part and very important to teach children. And I found that the body actually reveals your identity. So when you Think of a statement, or even better yet, speak a statement, but think of a statement, I'm confident. How does your body respond when you say or think, I am confident? Some people expand, some people contract, like, oh no, I'm not confident. Particularly today, with so many people with anxiety out there, there's a tension or a resistance. Some people are just neutral about the whole thing. What are you? So now try saying or thinking to yourself, I'm learning to trust myself. Huge difference to I am confident to I am learning to trust myself. The body often reveals where the old identities are still being held, and you can reveal it by speaking to yourself, sitting, breathing, having some space. And having that conversation, but noticing the sensations in your body and noticing what those sensations mean for you. It doesn't have to be bells and whistles. It's often very subtle, but the stronger it is, the stronger that communication with yourself grows and your discernment. I can tell you straight away, someone can show me something or a story on the internet or tell me a story. And my BS meter is so strong, I can tell what my body is reacting straight away for me. Years ago, I'd have to go and sit with it. Now I have a very strong connection because I've worked with it. I know my own patterns, I know my own signals. Sometimes there's a signal or a sensation. I'm like, I'm not quite sure what that is, but I can often feel into whether it's expansive or positive or contractive and negative and not for me. It's such a valuable skill, in my appearance, in my opinion, because awareness has to happen before any change happens. And that's what learning is all about, isn't it? Changing, growing, expanding, something new. This is all part of it. It's part of the conversation, which is why we're having it right now, because many people try to change themselves, but the awareness has to come first. You can't change anything if you're not aware of it. Which is why feedback is so valuable, because sometimes if someone's telling you something that's a blind spot for you, that's a gift. That's such an amazing thing to surround yourself with people who have the integrity to tell you the truth, not tell you what you want to hear because they don't want to hurt your feelings, but to have the integrity to tell you, then you can grow, then you can expand. So really take a good hard look at who you have around you as well, because you are who you hang around. They're a frequency match for you if you're choosing to have them in your lifetime, because our bodies are also like tuning forks. So if someone is around you and they have a really high frequency, they're joyous, they're playful, they're calm, they're emotionally regulated, and they often raise the frequency, the tuning frequency of those around them. That's why they're good to feel good to be around. And that's why some people, when they're around you, that they either drain you, they're draining you of your energy, and they might not even realize that they're doing it, energetic vampire. And then there's others that raise that frequency. And then when you get more than one, because we're not meant to be alone, we're meant to co-create this reality. When you have more than one being that is shining their light, they're sharing their passion, their laughter, their joy, their whatever their highest excitement happens to be. And it doesn't have to be anything flash. It could be fishing, it could be gardening, it could be telling poetry, it could be just having a cup of tea and listening to someone because that's what they love to do. They love to care and comfort. Whatever it is that they're doing, when you get more than one in the room, beautiful things happen to the field around us. And that frequency, it shines out. So knowing yourself and knowing what is right for you, knowing your own breadcrumbs and what is not is so important. And that awareness is a valuable part of this. What do I believe about myself? Where did that belief come from? Is that still true for me? It might have been true years ago, but is it still true for me now? Or can I let that belief go? Does this align with who I choose to be today? Not who I should be today, depending on what society and social media is telling you. It's who do I choose to be today? And when you know yourself in that way, this is really valuable. So energetic weather is one thing, but having that awareness of yourself is important. And ancient traditions, they long encourage know thyself, self-inquiry, reflection, observation. None of this is new. I'm not sharing anything that hasn't been around for millennia. Modern science explores personalities, emotional intelligence, which is great. Emotions come into it, but it's not the whole story. Self-awareness, new neuroplasticity, identity formation, they are all the sorts of words that come in modern science. It's different language, but from my perspective, where I'm sitting, it seems to me like a similar invitation, it to become familiar about yourself, to know yourself. And this matters for learning because, oh gosh, this is such an important conversation for education. Imagine if learners actually understood how they learned best, what energizes them, what their strengths are, when they need time out or a break, and how what suits them for how to recharge themselves when they're feeling drained or stressed, how to respond under pressure, and what actually matters to them. These are key life questions. Why are we not putting this at the forefront in education and learning? Not to mention adults. We all could benefit from having reflections. I know I certainly have. Learning is so more meaningful, than a subject, learning this particular subject or content-based things when you're learning about yourself. I just wanted to pause there because it feels like it just needs space. Feels like we need space because I've been throwing so much at you. And that's because presence is part of it. Sometimes the identity is being stuck in the past of who you were, or a label that you've been given, or it might be an identity that you're trying to strive for the future. But there is only now. So, who do you choose to be right now? And so, our micro practice this week, and for those of you who are new, you can probably tell I'm really passionate about this topic. I have some great activities that I will have in this week's article, and weekly reflections that you can dig deeper on this. So, please access them, share them, have this conversation with someone else. Go to a coffee shop, have a conversation, and ask others. That's why I do this podcast. This is my pleasure. This is my fun. This is my hobby because, one, I like to talk, but two, I really love to share what it is that I am personally learning because my identity is shifting and growing, and I am actively choosing to create the reality that I want to see. I don't want to listen to the doom and gloom. I'm not buying into that. I choose to see and to be part of the solution and create the path that we are seeking because we are pathfinders, we are explorers. So that's where we're at. So the micro practice this week, and we haven't got time to go through all of it, but I'm going to explain what it is. Several times throughout the week, and I invite you to start it today, pause, particularly when a strong emotion arises, like if you're driving in traffic and you feel that road rage coming along, and just feel into, well, is this mine? Did it begin with me? Or did I pick it up from someone else? If you're in a shopping center or if you're even at a family dinner. So, and what feels true for me right now? So, breathing, centering yourself, putting your hand on your heart, and asking, what is my signal? And what's the world signal? What's the energetic signal, energetic weather? It's someone else's, it's not mine. And learn to discern between those two things. Listening to your inner compass is a really important tool, and your body is such an important part of this process to knowing thyself. And in the article this week, I have lots of reflection questions. I have a weekly integration, which is very valuable. And then, of course, this connects with universal law, with the law of correspondence, and the law of vibration. So it definitely ties to our natural and universal law as well. So closing messages for today. Gosh, my brain has expanded, so I feel like I've shared so much. I feel like I probably would like to say, let me center my heart here. Knowing thyself is not We're not just the labels or the expectations. We're not the stories, the inherited beliefs. It's removing all of those things until whatever it is that remains underneath your true essence, which is always inside of you. It was always there. It's your clear signal. It's your deeper knowing, not who you're told to be, but who you just are, your essence. That is amazing. And having connection with that part of yourself is a huge adventure. You know, learning about yourself is so much fun. It's a huge adventure. And then we can go and authentically live the way that we choose to. So I feel like I'm probably going to leave that there. It's an amazing topic, one that I could explore and talk about for days. But I hope that I have brought something up for you to ponder on. And much love to all of you. So thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.